A visit from indie rock's favorite violinist and whistler. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and coming up a bit later on in the show, Andrew Bird joins us live in the green space. Andrew Bird will join us to play some unplugged songs from his new album, Break It Yourself. Now, we are streaming video of today's show live at wnyc.org/soundcheck. And if you are watching online, you can see that I am standing next to someone who is very near and dear to the world of public radio. During her time as a cast member of Saturday Night Live, Anna Gasteyer gave us The Delicious Dish, a sketch about two mild-mannered radio hosts who never really seem to be talking about food. Since her days on SNL, she's appeared in Wicked on Broadway, she's co-starring in the new ABC sitcom Suburgatory, and she is the star of her own cabaret review. It's called Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman. We'll talk with Anna in a moment, but here she is with her band and the song One Mint Julep, live from the green space.
Most handsome entertainer, Ms. Anna Gasteyer.
One early morning, as I was walking, I met a man. Went in a tavern to get a few nips, but all I had was one mint julep. It was the cause of it all. Started, but all I know is we shared a kiss and then another. I didn't mean to. One mint julep, it was the cause of it all. Ooh, the lights were burning low there in the tavern when through that swinging door in walks my father. He said, I saw you when you kissed my daughter.
Anna Gasteyer and the band live from the green space.
Know your limits.
One Mint Julep is the name of the song.
One Mint Julep.
Is that an elegant song?
No, it's not elegant. I'm not a particularly elegant person, but I try to class myself up for the sake of my mother as much as possible. My mother, who named me handsome, who recently called me handsome,
mm-hmm.
and that's where that came from, too.
That's where the title of the show, Elegant Songs from,
yes,
a handsome woman.
From a handsome woman.
Your mom says you're a handsome woman.
She did. She recently told me I developed into a handsome woman. And you should never use the verb develop with your children. No matter what. It doesn't matter if they're in their 40s or if they're 12. Just stay away from develop.
So if it's a left-handed compliment to begin with, and then
where
you
was
take
I before
another
I was handsome?
Left.
Yeah, I know. That's a good question. No, I think she meant it in the nicest way, but it sort of brings an old frontier woman to mind for me.
Now, I have an issue with one mint julep.
Yeah?
Have you ever had a mint julep?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I have.
There ain't no soda in a mint julep.
That's why you need a little splash just to take the edge off.
No,
all right,
no,
skip
no,
it.
No,
okay,
no.
Fine. I'm down
First
with you.
First of all, a mint julep is a waste of perfectly good bourbon.
Okay.
But secondly, there's no soda in it.
Are you from Louisville? Where
no,
are you from?
No, I'm just a horse racing fan.
Okay. Well, my birthday's on the Kentucky Derby a lot of years, so.
First Saturday in May.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Let me introduce the band.
Yeah.
John Spurney introduced you. He's over at our piano.
Yes, he's my wonderful, esteemed band leader. He's very patient with me.
And Rich Farradin playing guitar, Ryan Shore on the reed instruments, David Berger playing the drums, and Jeremy Chatsky standing behind us with the double bass.
That's right.
So how did this show come together? Was it intended to be a funny thing? Is it a serious approach to the songbook?
Are you embarrassed for me? Is that what we're trying to get to? No, it's not a serious approach to the songbook at all. In fact, that was exactly the journey that I took. You know, I worked on Broadway after Saturday Night Live. So I was a voice major. I got into college. I sang my way into college. Mm-hmm. And then I went to college in Chicago. So I got really quickly distracted by the improv comedy community. And I got very not interested in music theory pretty quickly, and just hung out with the fun comedy people most of the time. So I was a music school dropout and switched over to theater. And then after Saturday Night Live, I sort of found my more serious side coming back. And I've always been, you know, passionate about musical theater mm-hmm. and music theater. And so I kind of chose that road less traveled and made that my real focus after I left the show and started doing a lot of, that type of singing. I did
Wicked.
I did Wicked.
Rocky
I did
Horror.
The Three Penny Opera. And mm-hmm. I did Passion, Stephen Sondheim's show in Chicago at Chicago Shakespeare. And I just got real serious on everybody and they got upset and sad. it's just a different part of who I am. And so sometimes those people who are those very loyal theater fans like to come and hear, you know, me sing real songs. But I was finding sort of increasingly that trying to be earnest about it was irritating them and me. So I finally, my wonderful director, Julian Fleischer, who's here, a nightclub downtown fixture here in New York City and an actor in his own right, finally we had a sit down. He was like, you know, you're not like a really serious person, and I don't think that we should try to do this all that seriously. I think you should go. And I spent about 6 months just amassing every song that made me happy. And mm-hmm. I'm a hostess. I throw parties all the time. I like to, you know, toss a couple back and let it rip in front of people. And that's basically what it evolved into. So every song in the set has a sense of humor. And I'm not in a musical theater comedy way either. Like, I didn't want to do Miss Adelaide necessarily, mm-hmm. although that is funny. But I find it, I like doing character work in context as opposed to, like, having, like, a hat tree with costumes and, you know, on stage where I transform myself. So, you know, it's just more songs that make us happy and make our toes tap.
We're speaking with Anna Gasteyer here in the green space on Soundcheck, and the song One Mint Julep, you know, that's early 50s, but it's not really Great American Songbook, you know? It's like early rock and roll, R&B.
Yeah, well, we like to, you know, get people excited, and you want them to order something. Yeah, I mean, there is some songbook going on in the set. It's a very eclectic set, but that's who I am, too. I grew up in D.C., and, yeah, I mean, so I have, like, some weird bluegrass roots. I have some, you know, there's some strange, you know, 70s soul. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in my mm-hmm. complicated, confused background.
And so we get to delve into some of these areas of your life.
Yeah. And it was really important to me that
I have a few drinks along the way.
Yeah, very important. And a mocktail is fine if you're a mocktail drinker. I don't care, as long as it's got an umbrella or something just representative of fun. I don't really care.
The show is called Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman, and it's at Joe's Pub here in New York on Monday, April 2nd, at 7:30 and at 9:30.
Yes.
And it includes the song I'm Hip.
It does.
Now, I mean, you live in Brooklyn, you're a mom.
I
mean, people seem to be very concerned with maintaining a certain degree of mm-hmm. hipness in Brooklyn these days.
I couldn't have put it better. It's absolutely right. As we all, I mean, my husband, you know, we're all in our early 40s, and my husband Turner, he was like, now, is it an age thing that I'm starting to enjoy blossoms more? Because the blossoms are out, and I think they're beautiful for the first time in my life. And I think we're very preoccupied with the fact that we're turning into old people in Brooklyn. So I think, yeah, we kind of tuned into the hip, cool Brooklyn mm-hmm. thing. Yeah.
So have you, either with this song or any of the other songs in the show, have you kind of rejiggered the words to kind of...
Yes. This song, I'm Hip, is a song that is, you know, a few comedy gals over the years have done it. Blossom Dearie did the original amazing version that people know mostly, and Bette Midler did her own version, and so we decided to kind of tinker with it. And I rewrote it a little bit with, actually, my daughter music teacher, because her, I actually...
Because she's hip?
Well, she's incredibly hip, obviously, but I pillage their chorus concerts all the time for material, because they have an incredible lineup at her school. So I called up her choir director, and I was like, can you sit down with me and think of some fun things to do? So we rewrote this together.
Right, but the original is from Bob Dereau, who
yes.
people will know from Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
And Dave Frischberg.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear Anna Gasteyer and her band performing I'm Hip live from the Green Space.
I'm hip, I'm no square, I'm alert, I'm alive, I'm aware. I am always on the scene, making the rounds, digging the sounds. I cram myself into some skinny jeans, 'cause I'm hip. I dig, I'm in step. When it was hip to be hip, I was hap. Pabst Blue Ribbon in a can, snapping a pic, hipstamatic. I'll send it to you on Instagram, 'cause I'm hip. If I patter too fast on my edgy podcast, then it's my bad. Every Saturday night, using Tumblr and Skype on my iPad. I'm too much. I read blogs. I wear locally sourced vegan clogs. When I hang around the flea, artisanal duck served from a truck and farmed organically. Girl, don't trip. Yeah, I'm hip. Ooh, I'm hip. I'm hip. I'm alive. I enjoy any joint where there's jive. I'm on top of every trend. Look at me go, vodeo-do. James Franco is my Facebook friend. I'm so hip. I'm hip. But not weird. Like you notice, I don't have a beard. Beards were in, now they're out. They had their day, now they're passé. Just ask me if you're in doubt, 'cause I'm hip. I tweet from my bike. I knit sweaters for tykes sold on Etsy. I don't sell the kids, just the clothes. Oh my God, that upsets me. 'Cause I'm cool as a kook. I'm a cat, I'm a card, I'm a kook. I draw cynical cartoons. Orang-a-dang-dang, it ain't no thing. My voicemail's auto-tuned. Girl, don't trip. Take a tip. Yeah, I'm hip.
Anna Gasteyer and the band.
Namaste.
Soundcheck live from the Green Space today.
Yeah.
Andrew Bird joining us later. Anna Gasteyer and the boys here with us. Was there anything left of the original I'm Hip lyrics?
Yeah, quite a bit. We kind of folded it in.
So that's from the forthcoming show called Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman, happening Monday at Joe's Pub here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Anna, it's public radio.
Sure.
We have to do this.
Yeah, I know.
You're dropping back into character, aren't you?
I know where this is going to go.
So
there's always a slightly cautious friendliness from all NPR employees I see them. It's like, hey.
You must have thought that you would never be welcome again in a public radio
studio. You know, I absolutely love NPR. It's my main... where do you think I got the material?
I know.
Yeah.
It cuts a little close to the bone, but... We are talking, of course, about the Saturday Night Live sketch, which has become a classic, called Delicious Dish. Mm-hmm. And in this, we're going to hear a little and watch a little clip. And again, if you're listening at home, check out our live webcast here in the green space. It's at WNYC.org/soundcheck. Now, Alec Baldwin, who these days hosts the WNYC podcast, Here's the Thing, mm-hmm. plays Pete Schwede.
That's right.
And Schwede is now being introduced as the guest in this episode of The Delicious Dish. Watch.
Well, Pete, Terry and I have been looking forward to having you on the show because we know you're the master of all kinds of Christmas goodies. Tell us about them.
Well, there are lots of great treats this time of year. Zucchini bread, fruitcake. But the thing that I most like to bring out at this time of the year are my balls.
Balls. Tell us about your balls, Pete.
Well, over at Seasons Eatings, we have balls for every taste. Popcorn balls, cheese balls, rum balls, you name it.
Wow. My mouth's watering just thinking about those balls.
And it goes on from there. the famed Schwede balls clip.
Yes.
Is this something that you had developed prior to SNL?
It's a sketch that I did at the Groundlings when I was... That's where I started in comedy when I moved to L.A. right after.
Yeah, now explain the Groundlings.
Oh, the Groundlings is a very famous improv and sketch comedy company, I guess, mm-hmm. out of Los Angeles. It's kind of akin to the Second City in Chicago.
Right.
And that's where I headed, and there were a lot of incredibly interesting women there when I was there in the early 90s. So I liked it a lot because there mm-hmm. was, Kathy Griffin and Lisa Kudrow and Jennifer Coolidge and all these sort of amazing idols of mine now and peers of mine now.
Wasn't Pee Wee Herman
a Groundling? Yeah, Pee Wee and Phil Hartman and John Lovitz and Julia Sweet. It was a big feeder for SNL, frankly.
Right, right.
And Will Ferrell of my generation, Maya, Rudolph, Chris Parnell, who plays my husband now in Suburgatory. It's a major, Groundlings group. Yeah.
So you had gone to Chicago intending to get into music theater. You got waylaid by the comedy thing, and that took you out to L.A.
That's right. And then I got, just continued to get distracted for the next 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Until I wrote the NPR sketch.
Right.
When I focused up.
That was a great little piece of focus.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think you could get together with Martha Stewart and start a hate fan group if you want.
I think public radio people really got that joke.
I have to tell you, it's a testimony to, because what was more fun was just the characters themselves, of course, that Molly and I played, and the sort of oblivion to being unaware of the fact that you were being listened to, basically, and overheard. So a lot of the jokes were just eavesdropping jokes like that, looking at vacation pictures and talking about vacation pictures that nobody can see over the radio, things like that. We always had fun with a different game of that. But I also think that, NPR, and I really am like a huge lifetime subscriber and contributor because it's commercial free.
Call now, toll free.
That's right. I'm not going to give a tote away, but I will send you an handsome women's necktie. I think because it's commercial free, you just have the thing you're parodying is the kind of indulgent ability to spend time on a given topic without having to like cut away to commercial all the time, So.
But there's also that these women were born to be mild, that very measured, well-mannered way of speaking. When you got onto Broadway, to Wicked, that must have been just like release. Just go as crazy as you want.
I had some pretty crazy and loud characters on SNL too. So I feel like SNL was kind of a louder. No, it was a different kind of thing. I think actually being on a show so highly visible like SNL, I actually felt very in the limelight all the time. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy theater because you're behind the third, the fourth wall. You're behind the third wall when you're not on stage. So that's good. But the fourth wall, I enjoy the privacy of being in a character too. Mm-hmm. So that I found it strangely less of a release in a different way.
Huh.
Yeah.
So how big a change was it going from SNL to Wicked and the rest of the Broadway.
It's totally different because everything about SNL is about the minute that you're pulling it off. So it's, you know, the material is written overnight on Tuesday. It is rewritten on Thursday. It's rehearsed on Saturday, Friday and Saturday, and done live on Saturday night. So people always make fun of the cue cards and think people are bad actors, but it's really because the rewrites are, I mean, there were times I was doing sketches where they were rewriting while it was happening because you're live and you're running out of time and there's a stage manager going like, we got to lose a minute and a half from this, you know, before you start, and they're taping it down and they're rewriting it and taping it down and rewriting it, and you're like, I hope I know what I'm going to say next because, you know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But whereas theater is very measured and rehearsed and you have weeks and weeks and everything's, you know, backstage is like a perfect little flight pattern. The lady walks by with the laundry basket and this and everything backstage, everything is very, very studied and measured and rehearsed in a way that allows for perfection in a different way. Because the best thing about, the worst thing about SNL, the best thing about SNL is, of course, it's so exhilarating and incredible. And the creative process is so immediate. But the worst part is that you're always just not screwing it up. Like, that's, if you pulled it off, it's that you didn't blow it.
Right.
Because
right.
You haven't had any time to make it perfect, you know?
I think I'm among the millions of Americans who are just grateful that you didn't have to cut lines like, Pete, your balls are misshapen, you know?
You know, and Lorne Michaels really fought for every single line in that because the standards and practices people were going berserk. But, I mean, his point was that, again, the characters were these mild-mannered. Yeah. They didn't know it was dirty.
So let's circle on back. It is a family show, after all.
It is.
Let's circle back to Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman. And the song Crazy People. Who are the Boswell sisters?
They're a fantastic, I guess, girl group. I don't know, what are you going to call them? Girl group.
From like the Andrews sisters.
Like the Andrews sisters, but much, much earlier. They're from the late
20s. And much less famous.
And much less famous, yes. And I believe you told me Ella Fitzgerald worshipped her, right? Worshipped the Boswell sisters. They were incredible.
That's Anna pointing to
Julian Fleischer, my director, yes, who knows everything. He's a walking encyclopedia. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that, yeah, see, we just did the radio thing.
Right, that's right.
Sorry, everybody.
Well, you did the radio thing, which is why I had to do the radio thing to point it out.
This is not my brightest hour on the radio. Okay, so at any rate,
Boswell
the Boswell sisters are incredible, tight harmony, which the crazy, crazy rhythms. They just had a great sense of humor in what they were doing. And if you go home and YouTube them and enjoy yourself, because we would play them around the house, and my children would, you know, take up spoons and pots and pans and dance about.
And now you've got a proper band to handle.
Now I've got a proper band to
the pots and spoons.
Exactly.
Anna Gasteyer with us live from the Green Space. Here's Crazy People.
Crazy people. Crazy people. Crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Goofy people. Daffy people. Daddy people like me go crazy over things you do. When we are underneath the moon above, you got me acting just like a loony. It must be love, sweet love. Crazy people, crazy people, crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Crazy people like you. People like the things you do. When we are under the moon above, you got me acting just like a loon. It must be love. Crazy people like you, 'cause lovebirds of a feather always flock together. It's an old, old custom of the heart that keeps folks from drifting apart. Now that's the reason, maybe, that I call you baby. We're each other's counterpart. By la da wa da wa wa, a doo doodly wa wa. Crazy people, crazy people, crazy people, crazy people, crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Goofy people, daft people, daft people, daft people like me go crazy over things you do. Wow. I don't mind if I rave a lot, sweet angel child. It's just a habit I've got. You drive me wild. Crazy people, crazy people, crazy people, crazy people, crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Wow. Goofy people, daft people. Mr. John Spurney, accompanying me vocally as well.
Anna Gasteyer and the band, live from the green space with Crazy People. Elegant song from the show Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman. Anna Gasteyer at Joe's Pub here in New York, Monday night at 7:30 and at 9:30. Co-starring as well on the ABC sitcom Suburgatory, Wednesdays at 8:30. Did I get everything?
On ABC.
On ABC. Did I say that? Did I not say that?
You might have already said
okay. She sings, she dances, she makes fun of public radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Gasteyer.
Awesome band.
And in just a couple of minutes, Andrew Bird will join us for a live performance here on stage at the Green Space. But we have a kind of an interesting way of affecting a set change here in the Green Space, which we will get to in just a moment. You're listening to Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We are broadcasting live from the Green Space. So we got Anna Gasteyer's band off the stage, and while we get set up for Andrew Bird and his set here in the Green Space, we have some important business to attend to, hence the dramatic music. We are issuing a challenge to our Soundcheck audience, and joining me to help explain what the challenge is all about is the host of the Metropolitan Opera's weekly broadcasts, Margaret Juntwaite. Hey, Margaret.
Hey, John.
So many people, whether they're opera buffs or not, will recognize that music.
Right.
You know, Ride of the Valkyries.
Ride of the Valkyries.
From Wagner, from the cycle of four operas known collectively as The Ring.
The Ring of the Nibelung.
And The Ring.
The Ring.
The Ring cycle begins here in New York next Saturday.
Right, at the Metropolitan Met. Opera, beginning April 7th, with three cycles.
Right. So this is where people spend gazillions of dollars and almost 20 hours of their lives.
Oh, and they travel. They get in RVs, they go all over the country, they get on planes. I mean, deadheads have nothing over people who love The Ring.
Who are known as ring nuts.
Ring nuts. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Maybe they don't call themselves that, but the rest of us do.
In public
they
radio.
Didn't strike me as an RV kind of crowd, but okay. Now, realistically, Margaret, most people are not going to sit through almost 20 hours of German opera. So maybe we can talk a little bit about why so many of us have some basic awareness of The Ring. It's kind of permeated pop culture, hasn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Whenever anybody thinks about opera, they think about great big women with horns on their head or wings or metal breastplates or something like that. Or The Ride of the Valkyries is something that you've heard all over pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
Apocalypse
been everywhere.
Now.
Yeah.
The famous Bugs Bunny episode.
Killed a Wabbit. Yeah.
What's Opera Doc is the actual name of it. So what we've done is we've come up with a challenge for our Soundcheck audience to try and summarize the white heat of inspiration that Wagner maintains for 19 hours in a haiku.
Yeah, and you know what? They told me that I was going to come and talk to you about these haikus that went out to the public radio audience. And I thought, oh, great, an opera audience. They'll be so into it. And then I realized it was Anna Gasteyer, and it was like indie rock and everything. So they brought me in actually to explain The Ring to you, basically.
Because we have already started receiving some haiku about The Ring.
And I even wrote one.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, once you mentioned it to me, every line that went through my head or everything I dreamt, I was counting out the syllables. So I'm ready with one.
All right.
And you can read the rest.
All right. Well,
right? Is that what you're going to do?
I've got a couple, but let's hear one of yours.
And I've got them on my iPad because I'm hip. Well, first of all, the way the whole ring cycle ends is with Brunhilde, you know, the woman with the horns on her head, immolating herself because she thought that her boyfriend, Siegfried, was untrue to her. So what I wrote was, Brunhilde, put down the match, dump his ring, and let's go for manicures. Because Brunhilde really needed a sassy gay friend.
All right, and that is a true haiku, five syllables.
575,
five,
right?
Right, 575. Five syllables first line, seven syllables in the second, and five in the third. Now, we, you know, kind of sent this out on the web and have, as I say, already started getting some. And you know, I'll read them, and then, Margaret, you may need to kind of explain these.
Okay.
The award-winning music critic Alex Ross from The New Yorker sent us this. A dejected dwarf forges a ring from wet gold. Problems develop.
Yeah, that's pretty much over the entire four cycles. Yeah, problems develop. It's the sort of the creation and the destruction of the entire world. So he's pretty much right.
So yeah,
he's on it.
The dwarf Alberic forges the ring,
right?
And
out of the Rhine River. So that's why it's wet gold.
Right. Okay. Fred Plotkin, the author, who will actually be with us next Friday on Soundcheck to kind of talk through what the whole ring means, wrote this. Steal gold, add a curse. Hire giants, build Valhalla. Add love, all fall down.
Well, basically,
that actually is it in a nutshell, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, because the curse on the ring is it makes you all powerful if you renounce love. So that's sort of that middle part about the curse and, you know, add love and that's the end of it.
All right. Anne Majette, the classical music critic of the Washington Post. To heck with the plot, all we fans want to know is, who sings Brunhilde?
That's true. I mean, whoever is hired to sing Brunhilde, this is a huge undertaking for any soprano. And there are only a few
it's
sopranos
a huge undertaking
out there.
For the audience.
Well, yes, but we don't want to say that, John.
I just want to real quick, Alexandra from Perth, Australia. It's 15 hours long, heaven in musical form, but gosh, must I pee. We've got a couple of variants on that theme.
You do have to take care of that in advance, absolutely.
All right, Margaret Chunthwaite is host of the Metropolitan Opera broadcasts each week, which can be heard on our sister station, WQXR. Margaret, thanks very much.
Thanks, John. It's been great.
And you can submit your own haiku on our website, wnyc.org/soundcheck. There's a link that says Haiku Challenge, or tweet us using the hashtag RingHaiku.
Might I inquire to ask if... What's up, Doc?
I'm going to kill the rabbit.
All right, still to come, Andrew Bird's brand of indie rock doesn't sound like anyone else's. He'll bring some songs from his latest release, Break It Yourself, live to the Green Space. Watch it on our live webcast if you're at home. That's coming up next.
Your spear and magic helmet?
Spear and magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Yes, magic helmet. And I'll give you a sample.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We are broadcasting live from the Green Space. The music world has never been more crowded, and yet somehow Andrew Bird manages to stand out. Maybe it's the fact that there aren't a whole lot of indie rock violinist, whistler, singer, songwriters. Or maybe it's the songs. Andrew Bird's latest release is called Break It Yourself, and The Guardian in London called it, quote, the perfect album, unquote. Today, Andrew Bird and bassist Alan Hampton are going to perform some of it for us, old school. Just two guys, acoustic, unplugged, on stage with a song called Give It Away. Please welcome Andrew Bird to the Green Space.
Did you give it away? Did you give it away for free? Don't you give it away. Let's try to keep it in our family. I know you know desolation. Oh, coming home with your pockets full of sand. I know it's no vacation. Oh, now you're plowing your tiny patch of land in a nation under your command. Did you give it away? Well, yeah, I gave it away. Did you give it away for free? What would you have us pay? I didn't know that your love was a commodity. What about appreciation? Well, that depends on your depth and density. And what about inflation? Your charts and graphs don't mean nothing to me. In your nation, with its worthless currency. Scarcely breathe or see assured asphyxiation, where the foxes and field mice make the dens, death by association. I swore I'd never take anyone there again to this nation, a nation under your command. Nation under your command. This nation.
That is Andrew Bird with Alan Hampton, live from the Green Space, and the song Give It Away, which appears on Andrew's latest record, Break It Yourself. Andrew, great to have you back on Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me back.
You've done so much touring over the years with the band, or solo, or with Martin Dosh, the drummer, where you're doing all kinds of live looping and layering and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you and Alan around a single mic. I mean, it's like Grand Ole Opry style here.
Yeah, we actually just played the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, and you know, the original Grand Ole Opry, and we did a good part of the set was just one microphone.
Mm-hmm. What does that do to the songs when they've been created in the barn, as your records are, one way, and then you're here doing it a very different way? Is it a different way?
Well, in the barn, it was similar. It wasn't quite that stripped down, but it was. There's no production on this record, really. It's everything. All the production happens before it hits tape. Mm-hmm. But to really strip it back and play with really no monitors or anything, you sing different, you know, you sing more full on, and I've been into that lately.
Mm-hmm. The barn is where?
Western Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And is it a genuine barn, or has it been like retrofitted with all kinds of high-tech stuff?
Well, 10 years ago, it was just full of hay and raccoon feces and raccoons. and we fixed it up. It's quite comfortable now, but it's still pretty basic.
Mm-hmm. And so Break It Yourself was recorded there. Were you going for maybe a different sound on this record?
Well, I wasn't really going for anything at the time. I was just organizing like let's hang out and jam, which we never do, rarely do as a band. So, and then we rolled tape, and we started to realize we were getting, you know, that stuff that would be hard to replicate. So, the only agenda I had was to just avoid fixing anything, or production or any, you know.
What about the idea? I mean, you play the violin. It's not an instrument we associate with songwriting. You know, you think of people's writing at the piano or on the guitar. Mm-hmm. Can you write songs on the violin?
Well, you have to kind of rethink how you play it, because it's most of the time it's crammed up against your vocal cords.
Yeah.
So it's hard to get contrary motion going on when it's right there where you sing.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's why guitar is so typical for songwriting, is it's you know, it's like, you know, patting your head and rubbing your stomach. You can do it. But if you had to, like, you know, pat your neck and, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I never really thought about that before. But
all right.
Yeah.
I mean, people, you know, talk about the lyrics. They're often very elliptical, but also very literate. And this next song that you're going to sing for us looks back. You know, uses the imagery of the Greek myth of Orpheus and not looking back and all of that.
Right. Yeah. The hazards of looking back. And there's other songs on the record that kind of are looking at, you know, the fatal shore, you know, the looking, you know, towards the afterlife. But this one focuses on that moment of looking back and how everything can just crumble.
Let's hear it. It's another live performance. Andrew Bird and Alan Hampton live in the Green Space.
Thank you.
And if it drives you mad, and if it drives you mad, it'll probably.
Once again, Andrew Bird with Alan Hampton on double bass, live from the Green Space on Soundcheck today. Orfeo Looks Back is the name of the song. It's on the new album from Andrew Bird called Break It Yourself. Andrew will be playing with the band at the Beacon Theater May 4th and 5th here in New York. And for our listeners in Detroit, he'll be at the Fillmore Detroit on May 10th, but here with us today on Soundcheck. You reinvent your songs, it seems. I mean, you know, most people, you fix a song on a record and boom, that's the song. That's how it goes. But with you, it seems that as you tour these songs, they're constantly being reinvented.
Yeah, well, sometimes the best ideas come to you after the record is done. Like that last idea that, if it drives you mad, that was at some Soundcheck a week ago. I was like, oh,
I should have had that on the record.
Yeah.
Now, everybody who came here today got a postcard with a download link to get some music of yours. Is that why, you know, you put out so much music out? Because there are constantly this kind of revisiting of older songs?
Yeah, I mean, that's why we have this series called the Fingerling series, and it's just all live, the best of the best. And it's quite popular because they're so different from what's on the record.
Right. Yeah. Now, I want to just remind folks at home, if you are listening on the radio and not watching our webcast, you should probably switch over to the webcast, because after the broadcast part of our show is done, Andrew and Alan are going to perform another song for us, a cover, as a kind of a web extra, so folks here in the green space and watching our live webcast will get to hear that. But for this portion of the proceedings, let's do Eye on Eye next. This is, again, from the new record, and Alan switching from bass to guitar on this one. All right, once again, Andrew Bird and Alan Hampton live on Soundcheck.
Yourself, give yourself a hand, the hand is yours, the eye that eyes itself is your eye, and the ear that hears itself is too near, then you're getting too close, you're getting too close, you're getting too close to your souls, you've done the impossible. Now, took yourself apart, made yourself vulnerable. No one can break your heart, so you break it yourself. Bring in your own, break it yourself. Bring in your own, break it yourself. Bring in your own,
I'd break it yourself.
Bring in your own. Give yourself a hand, the hand is yours, and you go ahead and bring it out. You go ahead and stretch it out. Go ahead and wear it inside. Eyes. the desert makes this boy and girl too wise. Through the raging wall, the sand that's 100 stories high. And you re-ionize. And it's
once again, Andrew Bird with Alan Hampton live from the Green Space on Soundcheck today. And Eye on Eye is the name of the song. Mm-hmm. Were you sort of playing, Andrew, with the Rastafarian Eye on Eye?
No, I heard about that afterwards. So.
Okay.
No, not at all. I like some reggae music, but... yeah.
Not the sound that you were going for. On the record, this is a bit more... of a rocky number, obviously very different here with you and Alan crowded around a single mic here on stage at the Green Space.
Yeah.
Yet another project of yours, Norman, your first mm-hmm. film score. Now, you'd done instrumental stuff before. There was that yeah. Useless Creatures album that you'd done.
Yeah.
How different was this?
It was right between tours, so it was a bit of a... It was the hardest thing was kind of checking your ego and having to, you know, going from playing for 2,000 people and being your own...
Mm-hmm.
The autonomy of that, and then being in service of the director in the film. It was kind of a shift. But
yeah.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I've just been waiting for the right film to come along, and this was such a good film.
We're actually going to hear a little bit of the soundtrack from Norman to wrap up the broadcast portion of the proceedings today. But are you looking forward to doing more of that sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's a much... better quality of life than touring. I love touring, but
well, speaking of quality of life, you're a still recent dad. That's your one of your other creative projects.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations there.
Thank you.
The new album is called Break It Yourself, and Andrew Bird will be performing here in New York at the Beacon Theater, May 4th and 5th, and at the Detroit Fillmore in Detroit, obviously, on May 10th. Andrew, Alan, thank you guys for playing for us on Soundcheck today.
Yeah, thank you.
And we are live from the Green Space. That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. On our program Monday, Newsies has come to Broadway. We'll look back at the historical events that form the basis of the new musical, plus the Newsies composer and songwriter, Alan Menken, will join us to talk about a busy season. He's got 3 Broadway shows and a major motion picture out all at once. And we'll have an exclusive album stream of the new cast recording of Newsies, plus a live performance from singer-songwriter Bea Beamon on Monday. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. We had engineering help today from George Wellington and Edward Haber. The program is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. Thanks to Indira Etwaru and the entire Green Space team. We had help today from Gina Gildasis and Crystal Kim. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck, live from the Green Space.